Dios, I'm so understanding of what you've done for me. I don't deserve more today than I did yesterday or 10 years ago. I'm still so undeserving, but yet he's still so merciful. And so good. Lift your hands and love you right now.
Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for preaching this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for truth.
How do you follow that?
Lord, you're so good to us. You're so good to us.
Do you pray?
You'll come up with something.
We got about 6 calls tomorrow at the hall. We're showing up trying to get one.
Bless them, Lord.
2 in Lakeland, 1 in St. Pete, and the other 3 are ways off. So we're praying we don't have to take one of those, because then that would put us only being here on Sundays. So we're praying about it. We know God's got it under control. And God can work it out where I don't have to take none of them. Amen. And then I can just wait for the big job in Lakeland to open up. But we just want to be sensitive to the Lord. Amen. And do what he wants. Amen. We truly love this church. Love this church family.
Yes.
Amen. And I think Brother Skinner is an awesome man myself.
Yes.
And of course, Brother Texter, I've told you this before, and I think I've said it from this pulpit before, the fact that so much of his family sits in these pews is a testament of what kind of man he is and the character he is.
Yes,
right.
Amen. Because, y'all know him better than everybody else.
Oh,
and so, y'all seen that red in his face and those kind of things that he was talking about. Amen. Brother Skinner.
Oh, Jesus.
Wednesday night when he was preaching, he referenced this story, and God just kind of nudged me with something. So we're going to Acts chapter number 3. I had about 4 messages this morning.
Jesus.
And some I had preached before, and just different things, and the service was singing, and the way the Spirit was moving, I thought, well, what a great way to finish up January. Amen. The last Sunday of January.
Yes.
And I thought, man, that'd be awesome just to go out with a bang.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for those who responded.
Yes, Lord.
And got help.
Touch us, Lord.
Amen. But the service is not over yet.
Right.
Amen. If you haven't got what you need yet, you may have to be like that woman.
Yeah.
Younger than Nathaniel.
True.
He just blessed my heart. Amen. And I just waiting for God just to shake him so hard that he can't reference calling no more.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, where we'll take our text from this morning. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily.
Yes,
daily. Every day.
You're right.
It was just the norm. That's just what he did. At the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us.
Look on us.
And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Yes.
And he took him by the hand, by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength.
Yes.
And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God.
Yes.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew.
They knew
that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So many messages can be preached from this passage of Scripture. Amen. They were struck with awe and wonder.
Yes.
Has the church lost its wonder?
Come on.
Amen. Do people look at the church and go, man, I really wonder what's going on in there.
Yeah.
Why do those people behave the way they behave? Why do they cry? Why do they speak in tongues? Why do they stomp their foot? Why do they quiver?
All right. Yes.
Man, I think we've lost our wonder.
Right. Come on.
But that's not what I'm going to preach this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Lord, we need you.
Yes, Lord.
Let your anointing touch this house, Father. Open our hearts and ears,
Lord. Be sensitive to hear
what your word is.
Be in this place, God. We ask you, Lord, to help us this morning. God, speak to us, Lord. God, we need to speak to us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise and glory to you. Everything else down in this service. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Or not, you can be seated. Just don't sit on the preacher.
All right. Yes.
Very familiar story.
Yes, it is.
We read here in Acts chapter 3. There are a few things that I would like to point out in this text. First, we find Peter and John going to the temple. And this was no strange thing. This was no out of the ordinary ordeal, because Acts chapter 2, verse 46 lets us know they continued daily with one accord in the temple.
Yes.
I do not know if this story in Acts chapter 3 happens the very next day after the day of Pentecost, or if some time has gone by. I do not have the chronological order of what is going on in the story, but I do know that it is premised right behind the outpouring of the Holy Ghost when it fell on the 120 that were in Peru.
Yes.
Now, this morning, the Spirit of God was moving in our midst, and there were those who got the touch they needed, but yet there are those that stood back and were spectating instead of participating. Can I tell you this morning that you will never accidentally become a Christian? You will never accidentally become apostolic. It is something that you purpose to do. You don't accidentally get baptized in Jesus' name. It's a decision that you make. You don't accidentally get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's something that you seek after. It is something, amen, that when you get your life in the place where God takes it and pours His Spirit upon you, it doesn't accidentally happen. But we do see in the text that Peter and John are going to the house of God. The house of God was essential in their lives. Now let me just pause this morning and say this, that for the child of God, the house of God is an essential place for you to be. Now I don't believe that coming to church makes you a Christian. No more than sitting in your garage makes you a car.
Right.
Amen. You can come, you can sit on the church pew, and you can go to hell for not where you sit.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Just coming to the house of God does not make you a born again believer. Again, I say nobody is born again by accident.
Right.
The Bible lets us know in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, friend, but I believe that we're on the verge of the coming of the Lord.
All right.
There's not very much more Bible prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the Lord comes and catches away His bride. I don't feel like we're very far removed from that day and that hour. But we find Peter and John were going to the house of God at the time of prayer.
Yeah.
I know Sister Hunt and myself had missed a few prayer meetings, and most of the time it's because we didn't see the text in time, or we got busy and forgot, and we didn't send a reminder. But the times that we have come, and we come and got into corporate prayer with the body of Christ, you feel a sweet spirit. You're able to break free and to really pray. And the other night when we had prayer meeting here, I kneeled there and I was praying, and I began to call each and every person's name and begin to pray over your family. Begin to pray over your life and say, God, whatever you do, don't ever come to church service after service.
Yeah. Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
While they're going, while Peter and John are going into the temple, they come across a man who was laid at the gate called Beautiful.
Yes.
The Bible says this man was carried there daily.
Yes.
I would say it's safe to say that this was just an ordinary day in the life of this lame man.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 4 tells us that this man was over 40 years old. That's a long time to live in that time of condition. To this man, it was just another day on the calendar. Little did he know that God was getting ready to do something extraordinary right in the middle of his ordinary day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm preaching this morning. Extraordinary ways on ordinary days. This man was laid there. He was brought there every day. But he did not realize that this day was going to be a different day. Can I tell you, there's some here today that life has crippled you spiritually. You have become paralyzed by fear. You're afraid to get out and worship God emotionally and physically because you have been crippled. You're afraid people's going to look at you. You're afraid people's going to laugh at you. You're afraid that people are going to mock at you. And I tell you, friend, when you really get hungry for God and you really get a burden in your soul for more of God, you won't care what they say. You won't care how they look at you. You won't care if they mock or make fun. Why? Because you've got a purpose in your mind that I'm going to live for Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, you do not have to leave the same way you walked in.
Yeah.
I know it's just another Sunday morning service. I know we're only 28 days into this month. A couple more days, it's a few more days, and this month will be over.
Yeah.
How fast it has flown, how fast it has went by. I know we're just now at the fourth Sunday of the year. And I know that we have more to go. There's 52 of them in the year.
Jesus.
And we've only made it to four. But how awesome it would be to say it was on the fourth Sunday of the month, it was on the 28th day of January, that God came and changed my life forever.
Yeah.
To receive something of them. This same man not only asked, but he expected to receive. How many times have you gone to prayer and you ask God for things, but as soon as you got up, you said, well, it'll probably never happen.
Yeah.
Hey, man, they used to have some signs in the Bible school that I went to that hung upon the wall. It said, come expecting a miracle, leave experiencing that miracle. Amen. If we came to church with the expectation that this service is not going to be like all the other services, this service is not going to be an ordinary service. But this service, I'm going to take and give it everything I got. This service, I'm going to take. What God is trying to do in your life.
Yes.
Right. Amen. He came.
Hallelujah.
He looked at them expecting. The Bible said that Peter took him by the right hand. So that means his hand was extended.
Right.
So he said, "You have an arm?"
Uh-huh.
He stuck his hand out expecting to receive.
Right.
We come to God. We are to come to God expecting to receive from Him. Peter and John looked at this man who was laying at the gate of the temple and said, "Look at us. Silver and gold, how we done?"
Yes.
Sounds like to me that you were some good apostolic, brother.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
But such as we have, give out unto thee. Some years ago, there was some of those name and claim it, blab it, grab it, say it, spray it, take it, preach it.
Yes.
Who got together, they were looking at their beautiful edifices of a building and said, "Oh, God has truly blessed us. No longer can we say, silver and gold have we none." And the other guy says, "That, and neither can we say, such as I have, give I to thee."
All right.
Amen. Oh, we got some beautiful churches. Amen. The apostolic church has got some beautiful buildings. And this is a beautiful building. Amen. This building is old, but it's beautiful. And God beautifies it with His Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, friend, it does us no good to come to the house of God and just sit upon a pew if we never get in and worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Peter reached down.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Peter reached down and took a hand that was already reached out.
Yes, yes.
And when he did, the Holy Ghost fell, and immediately,
yes, yes,
the laying man's legs and ankle bones received strength.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
This man, who had never stood on his own accord,
all right,
stood up and began to walk and to leap and to worship God. He was laid in his mother's womb. Never did he learn to walk. Never did he learn to run. Never did he learn to jump. Never did he learn to do these things. But when the Holy Ghost got on him, he began to walk. He began to run. He began to leap. He began to shout. Can I tell you? You may be paralyzed with fear this morning. You may be paralyzed with the pain in your past. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, and I stood up and began to walk and to leap and to worship God. A man who had been lame all his life. You say, "Brother Hunt, you just don't know the hand that I was dealt.
Come on.
You just don't know the way I was raised. You just don't know my background. You don't know my history. You don't know my story." Can I tell you, friend, God does, and He doesn't care.
That's right. That's
all right.
That's right.
Amen. God knows everything about you.
Yes.
He knows what you did this morning. He knows what you did last night.
Yes.
He knows what you did yesterday. But yet He showed up today to give you an extraordinary experience.
All right. All right.
Amen. You say, "Well, I've got these addictions, and I just can't seem to break them." Can I tell you, God can break the addiction off your life without you ever having a withdrawal. I've seen God take the taste of alcohol and nicotine out of somebody's mouth. They come to church. We were at a church one time, and we were preaching, and we had an altar call, and the guy was praying, and he was seeking for the Holy Ghost, and he got up and he walked out, and we thought, "Well, there's that." And the guy come back in and lay some cigarettes on the altar, and then he took and crumbled them up, threw them over in the garbage can. And can I tell you, God filled him with the Holy Ghost.
Yes!
And as far as I know, he never smoked an animal, he never holy an animal, he never had an animal in a hatred, but never because God totally delivered him from it.
That's right.
But I had one of those that they struggled.
Yes.
And I don't know why.
Yes,
that's above my pay grade.
Yes, Lord.
And I don't know why some people struggle with things and other things. God just takes and wipes the way from their life.
That's right.
This man didn't have to learn to walk. This man didn't have to learn to run.
Yes.
This man didn't have to learn to lead. When God healed him, He gave him the ability.
That's right.
These are things that many of us take for granted. Amen. Every one of us walked into this house this morning.
Yes, yes.
We walked into the church.
Thank you, Jesus.
Some even left this morning.
Yes.
I watched Sister Marissa as she danced. And I watched Brother Nathaniel as he danced, playing the bass. I watched others as he danced, Sister Skinner, danced across the front of the church, as this God was moving upon them.
Thank you, Lord.
I watched poor Brother Sammy. Said Mimi was over here worshiping.
Yes.
She had Malachi and Silas with her, and they were getting in with it. And Sammy said, no. And he run over there, he's going to get in and jump about three times and smash in the floor. He walked back across the hold him on. Amen. I felt bad for him. I was over there and I said, that boy just lost his bridges. All he was trying to do was worship.
Pastor's doing good.
Amen. He was just trying to get in. He saw his brother and his cousin over there worshiping. And he said, man, I want some of that. Man, bless my heart this morning, Sister Amber up here.
Hands
crying. Her husband, her helpmate, her rock, her anchor, wrapped her up and put his arm around her and started praying together. That's how homes are built. A family that prays together stays
together. That's right.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah.
We walked in here today and we stood up.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Brother Hunter did this little show. You know, I'm really white.
But we try.
We try.
Yes.
Amen. I love going to black churches. I just don't fit in.
Yes.
Amen. I just can't do it. I only go to the pastor. Amen. We go to a church in College Station, them guys, man, they get out there and they dance and shout for hours.
Yes.
First time I went to preach there, I thought, well, I ain't going to have to preach today. They were getting down. And then I had to preach anyways.
Yes.
And then they shouted about another hour after that.
Yes.
And I thought, good Lord. I mean, them fellas were drenched in sweat, them ladies, man, their hair was matted to their head. But they were giving God everything they had.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going, ain't no way I could ever keep up with them folk. And I was just amazed.
Jesus.
Nobody had to teach this man how to walk, how to run, how to
lead. That's right.
Amen. You know, I have actually... We went to a church. I know I got some stories. We went to a church one time.
Go ahead.
Bishop Joe Holmes is going to be preaching from North Little Rock. And one of the little girls from the church, they had practiced shouting. About 4 or 5 of them girls had practiced shouting because they said, Brother Holmes is going to be here. Amen. Can I tell you, I have never practiced shouting. I may have mimicked and mocked somebody to my fault, and Lord forgive me. But I have never practiced shouting.
Yes.
Amen. They tell me when I shout, I look like I'm getting electrocuted. It's been a while.
I want to see it.
You need to get her to spout. But these kids, man, they were practicing shouting. And I've been to a lot of places that the worship looked choreographed.
Yes. You know.
Brother, I can't think of his name, Pastor in Salisaw, Oklahoma. He put a thing on Facebook the other day. He says, true apostolic shouldn't have to be sung into worship.
That's right.
Brother Johnny DePaul, that's his name. Amen. True apostolic shouldn't have to be sung into worship.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Amen. You know you ought to be able to worship God even when the music's not playing.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. This lame man, I know I keep coming back to this. He didn't have to be taught.
That's right.
I don't know about you today, but at one time, I was lame
by
my sin.
Oh, yes.
And just like this man, I was on your side at a beautiful gate.
Thank you.
At a preseason. Amen. I'm an ugly sight at a beautiful gate. And I wasn't allowed inside. This man whose name was not allowed to go into the temple. Brother Texter was talking about it this morning, that God seems selective. And I've heard people say, well, Brother Hunt, the Bible said, many are called, but few are chosen. You want to give you the best explanation for that? If I told you after church I needed to move something and ask for help, how many would help? All right, guess what? I can only select the ones that raise their hands. Everybody was given the opportunity, but only a select few raised their hands. So I can only use the ones that were willing to participate.
That's right.
Yeah, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because they chose to be used.
Yes, that's good.
Amen. I was one of those that was lame in sin.
Was
broken in iniquity.
Thank you, Jesus.
But God sent a preacher by one day.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that preacher came and he told me that Jesus could save me, that Jesus could rescue me, that Jesus could change my life.
Yes. Thank
you. Wonder why I worship? You wonder why I lift my voice in praise? You wonder why I raise my hands in worship? You wonder why I stir my voice in preaching? You wonder why I go home this evening and my sides will hurt because of preaching so hard?
Yes.
It's because I remember where I was when He found me. I remember the pit of sin He took me out of.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
God gave me a thought. And I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there because it just came to me again. Hagar, when she became a child of Abram's kid, now you realize it was Abram and Hagar. And when Ishmael was sent away, God called him Abraham. Or when Sarah came to him, and Sarai came to him and said, you got to do something with this woman.
Yes.
Said, she mocks me.
Yes.
And then Abraham took and he told Sarai, he said, it's your handmaiden.
Yes.
Do with it what you want.
Yes.
And the Bible says she dealt harshly with her.
Yes.
And she ran away.
Yes.
And then we find Hagar sitting at a well as an expectant mother, unwed expectant mother, sitting at a well, and that well, an angel comes and speaks to her, and the Bible says she called the Lord by a new name that had never been spoken. She says, thou God whom I have looked after, sees me.
Yes.
I realized that God found me when I was looking for Him.
That's yes. Right. Oh,
yes. I went looking and searching for Him, but He found me.
All right.
Amen. I didn't necessarily know where to go. I didn't know which way to turn. My life was upheaval. Everything in my life was falling apart. Everything in my life was going to hell in a handbasket, if you will. But I went and I said, there's got to be a better way. And I found the Lord.
Amen.
And He called my name.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
The old songwriter said, if you had known me before I knew Him, you would understand why I love Him.
Yeah.
If you had known me before I knew Him, you would understand my love. I'm sure when we pass the mic this morning and around this room, each and every one of us would have a story. Oh, if you only knew the pit of despair. If you only knew the night of rebellion that was in my life. If you only knew where I was when God found me. Oh, I thank the Lord that He has. Amen. And He is the God of second chances. I thank the Lord this morning that He is the God of another chance. Amen. I'm glad He just gave me one shot and then I'll do it and now it's over. Amen. But He took it again and time and time and time again. Amen. And let me know that He's there for me. No matter what comes my way. Amen. Oh yes, I fall. But I love to get up just now. Thank you, Lord. How many know that nobody can tell your story quite the way you can?
Right.
Oh, I can. You know, I read some stories and people send me little clips of stories and stuff that are good preaching material. Amen. And I can read that as a testimony of somebody's life, and I can gain encouragement from it. But if I took and amen, I can Well, I mean, I don't know Brother Dan that well. I know him as a good man, but I don't know all of his life. Amen. So I can sit there and tell you, well, I've seen that guy speak in tongues, he can play a mean guitar, he loves the Lord and these things like this, but he can definitely tell you what God's really done in his life.
Right. Yes.
Amen. I can't necessarily tell you what he did for you, but I know what he did for me.
Yes.
Amen. I know, amen, that God took and restored my life and restored my ministry and restored, amen, where I thought that I was hopeless and helpless and thought I would never amount to anything.
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm all that in a bag of potato chips. Amen. But it is God's love and grace that has brought me to where I am right now.
Yes.
It's because
on
an ordinary day, when it was just going to be another service, I walked into thy house. I started a church in Dundee, Florida. The year was 1999, the late 1900s. I love saying it like that. It seems like so long ago. It was the late 1900s. I went to a revival. I met a man on a job site that looked a lot like me. Good haircut, dressed modest. I noticed he wasn't cussing and cursing and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, man, that's a holy fella. Well, I had come in contact with Brother Michael Griffiths.
Yes.
And since we were the only two in the whole project that lived a good clean life and didn't tell dirty jokes and, you know, curse and all this crazy mess, we became friends. We ate lunch together every day. We even tried to work together when we could, be around each other. We formed a friendship. From that friendship, one day, sitting at lunch, he looked at me and said, Tom, I don't want to start no kind of argument or debate or nothing, but how do you believe in Godhead? And I may have told you this. I looked at him and I said, I believe God is one manifested in three. He said, you don't believe in three people? I said, no, that just don't make sense. How can you have three persons being one person? And if we're made in the image and likeness of God, why aren't we three people being one? And so he said, you're more apostolic than you think you are. And I said, I beg to differ. I was born Trinitarian. I've been Trinitarian all my life. This is the way I am. But from that, the seed was planted.
Yes.
And I began to dig in and study and read and pray. And then they were having a revival. Brother James Gallon was preaching revival. And it was on a Friday night. And Brother Griffiths said, hey, man, we're having a revival at the church. Would you come? I ain't got nothing better to do. So I go to church. And I mean, I was saved. I'd already been preaching like 8 years in the Trinity Church. Then graduated from Bible school. All this stuff. And I thought I was doing good. I went to church that night, and I went up, and we were praying around the altar, and I had my hands raised, and they began to pray with me, and God refilled me with the Holy Ghost.
All right. Yes.
And it was so, I don't know, richer, more concentrated, just more powerful, it seemed like. And from that, the Bible says when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. And so I began to pray and read and study. And sure enough, one day we're riding down the road, me and my dad, my Trinitarian dad, riding down the road. He's driving, we're working together, and God just drops the scripture into my spirit. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, He's Lord.
And I started crying. My dad, my wife could tell you he was, not the most emotional person. No, not a I love yous or, I mean, up to almost the point he died, there was no hug in his neck. He shook his hand, just like another brother in the church. And a lot of times he'd call me son, he'd call me brother. How you doing, brother? And so my dad was not one of those real emotional kind of people. So I'm sitting over in the seat and I'm crying. Dad looks at me and goes, "Boy, you okay?" And I said, "I see who God is." And he said, "Well, that's good." Really, it wasn't good because he was a preacher out of his church. I called. As soon as I got home, I didn't have a cell phone back then. And I called Brother Watson. I said, "Hey, Brother Watson, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name."
Wow.
He said, "Are you going to be here Sunday?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "We'll do it right after church." So that Sunday morning, I got baptized in Jesus' name. And then God began just to open the scriptures to me. And I tell people, when I got the revelation of the oneness of God, the Bible changed to a whole new book.
Oh, yes. Oh,
everywhere I look, I can see the oneness of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I wonder how in the world I'm not ever healed.
Oh, come on.
How in the world that I not have this understanding.
Oh,
and I look at people like my dad who died, pastor of a Trinitarian church, going, how did he never really understand it?
Come on.
Because it seems so clear. It was an ordinary day in my life. So I thought that God took and done something extraordinary.
Yes.
And He changed my life forever. I'm thankful this morning for those extraordinary days that God gives us.
All right.
Amen. We can come to church service after service. Amen. We can come to church Sunday after Sunday. Wednesday after Wednesday. And never experience what God is going to do for us if we never allow Him to do it. Amen. You never realize God wants to do, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
You say, "Brother Hunt, how so?" You realize when God created man, He created him for relationship.
That's right.
We were not necessarily created to worship. He's got angels that do that 24/7.
That's right.
He created us to have an intimate relationship with Him.
All right.
And when sin entered the garden and broke that relationship, God said, "I'd rather go and give them myself to redeem them than not have them at all."
That's right.
So Jesus robed Himself in the flesh, came and died for us.
Thank you.
Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
Amen. The mystery is not the Trinity. The mystery is how God, so big and so powerful, can take and condense Himself. Now, I know some Trinitarians that say, "Well, you know, who was in heaven when Jesus was on earth? He's all not present."
I'm not present. That's
Amen.
Right.
He was there and here.
Yep.
Right. Yes.
Amen. I'm glad my God's not limited.
Yes.
Amen. But He took and robed Himself in flesh, came and died for us, that we could have a way of redemption.
Yes.
That in the midst of our ordinary life, God can do extraordinary things.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Change our lives for the better. And Sister Hunt first got in church.
Thank
and I'll get it, you know, I'll get reprimanded later.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just kidding, she doesn't. Yeah. Disclaimer. I remember Sister Hunt first got in church and we were talking about things, and she said, "Why do you want to change me?" I'm like, "I'm not trying to change you. I'm just trying to make a better version of you." Which, you know, didn't always go over so well. But my dad paid Sister Hunt one of the greatest compliments. But my dad met Sister Hunt when we first got together. And she was not holiness. And then, years later, Brother Ron Pickard told her she hit the fast track button. She married a homeless preacher. God did great work in her life. And
yes,
my dad, it might have been a year, 6 months or so before he passed, he looked at my wife and said, I remember where you were and where you are now. And you are a beauty of God's holiness."
All right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You never know what your life can be until you surrender to God.
Right. That's right.
Amen. You want to be the leader of your home?
Holy Ghost.
You want to lead your family in the right direction? Amen. Take and surrender your life to God.
Amen.
We got three boys. We got one in prison, one in the army, and one's just a loose cannon.
Thank you, Jesus.
He texted me the other day. He said he's going to therapy.
Save him, Lord. Save him.
And I started talking to him, telling him that I loved him, and you know that God can fix it. And we got a daughter who's lives in Oklahoma, going through some stuff, and we're trying to encourage her. She's reading her Bible. She's praying. She even, when she's talking to us, he goes, "I know God's trying to work on me."
Yes, work on her, Lord. Save her.
All right, baby, you need to go find you a good church.
And
we tell her the good churches that we know in that area that she can drive to. And she says, I know, I hear you, I hear you. I told you, she's felt the Holy Ghost. She's felt those goosebumps. She's seen the power of God move. She's watched people slain in the Spirit. But her biggest problem is, I don't want to give up my pants. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that. I'm going to have to change my whole life.
Come on.
I always tell her, baby, you just surrender to God and let God take care of the rest.
Yeah,
of
right.
Care
of it. Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, for years, I pastored a church, and it was holiness. I had a platform standard, and I know what the texture does. And I wouldn't let you on my platform unless you met the criteria that I felt like God wanted me to set. But I let people come to church, and I didn't get up and harp and just hound on every standard that I believed.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I was always in the mindset they truly fall in love with Jesus.
Just love.
Jesus will lead them.
That's right. Help
and when
us.
They get to the point they want to please Him,
help us.
They will lay down the things that He doesn't want in their life.
Right. Yes.
I'm closing, but I got a guy that I knew. His name was Don Rich. He was a missionary to the Kahuna Indians down in South Mexico, way down deep into the remote jungles. And he was there and he was preaching. And he was getting ready to leave. And he said, "When I come back, I'm going to bring you some Bibles." He left and he was gone. And he was gone a while and come back and he had a bunch of Bibles. And he started, he looked and he realized that all these people were dressed in a holiness fashion. He said, "I never had the chance to teach them holiness. They didn't have a Bible to read it out of." He says, "So I began to inquire, who told you to dress like this?" And one of the elders spoke up and said, "That man that you told us about told us how to live." You know, I strongly believe that God still convicts people.
Yes, He does.
I strongly believe that God urges people.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes,
so many times we say, "You know what? It's my life. I'm just going to live it my way."
Oh, Jesus. Help us.
Frank Sinatra sung that song, "I've done it my way."
Done it my way. Come on.
And His way was not the right way.
No,
right. The Bible says, "Ask for the old paths and walk therein. For there you'll find rest for your soul."
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says, "There's a highway called holiness, and the fool shall not err therein." Amen. We don't have to stand here and give you a pamphlet, Brother Tasha doesn't have to stand here and beat you over the head with every standard. Amen. Just fall in love with Jesus.
Yes.
Let Jesus take your ordinary life and make something extraordinary out of it.
Yes.
Amen. You can be like that lame man.
Yes.
You can be like that man that you come to church daily. You come to church all the time. But you finally made up your mind. You come expecting and you stretch your hand to receive.
Yes.
How do you know you can't give somebody something when they got closed hands?
Yes. Right?
Amen. You can't force things upon people.
Right.
Amen. But when you open up, say, "Lord, let it rain."
Let it rain, Lord.
Open up the windows of heaven.
Open it up, Lord.
Don't pray for rain and bring the umbrella.
That's right. That's right.
Pray for rain and then bring the buckets.
Yes.
Amen. We sang a song, "Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Bread of heaven, come and feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole."
Amen.
We sing songs. "Lord, pour out your Spirit." We pray, "God, I want a revival in my life."
Yes, that's your anointing, Lord.
and then we don't act upon the prayers that we prayed. When the Spirit of God starts moving, we pop up the umbrella. It's going to mess your hair up. I knew a preacher, man, used to pray for people that stayed, fork their fingers into their food. Man, they're messing up on purpose.
Yes.
My goodness. Amen. I try not to do that.
Yes.
I've heard people say, when I get the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to act that way. And when they get the Holy Ghost,
they act that way.
Man, they just, they got to the point, they said, well, God, whatever.
Whatever it takes, man.
Amen. And then God just took and done extraordinary work in their life. Amen. I think you're ready to sing. As we all stand across this house.
Jesus.
I'm leaving it up to you. I will not pressure you. I will not put on the altar call. What are you going to do to make it different?